somewhat like it. Probably 10 times worse, but something like it. Your wires in your mouth and you're cranking.
The first night, like the first night, two nights after surgery, it just was like horrible because it was like, my teeth are just flushing together.
Oh, you
know?
Right, right.
The wires were so tight.
Oh, right, right.
Now they're like opened up a little bit because I've talked and I've like gotten stuff in there to like, you know, loosen it up a little bit.
Right, right. Oh, no, you're good. All right, well, let's start off in Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Jesse, can you read that?
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in the Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
I think it's pronounced Colossa. I don't know why it's with the E. I've seen it spelled with the A also. So Colossians come from Colossia. So typical letter back in the day, and I know we've talked about this before too, and that's how Paul starts his letter, but that's how it typically was back in the day. It would start out with who it is from, which actually makes a lot of sense because right away you know if you want to read it or not, right? It's like, oh, no, that's all right. I don't need to read this guy. So Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Right? So he puts it out there, right? A very important title. Now, this letter is unique in that this church in Colossae wasn't planted by Paul. He more than likely had never set foot in this city. Now, it is likely that somebody what heard from Paul or was taught by Paul, you know, and that was saved because of Paul, you know, maybe they're the ones what planted this church. That's a very good possibility because they knew who Paul was. Now, a lot of people knew who Paul was. You know, word was getting around. Gospel was really spreading at that time. But Paul lets them know this is not a spam mail. You just don't delete it. You should read this, right? Because it's very important. He tells them that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he's been sent out by Jesus. So this is an important message, and they should want to hear it. Plus, he mentions Timothy, right? Timothy is his right-hand man, and he tells them that Timothy's your brother. You know, not the brother that teases you, you know, throws you off the top of the bunk bed. You know, not that brother. But the brother what cares about you and wants to protect you. That brother. You know, how could they say no knowing who it's from? Right? It'd be hard. It's like, yeah, let's read this letter. Next, the letter tells you who it is to, or who it addresses. And it addresses the saints. Now, that means, you know, we talked about it. Who are the saints?
People who believe.
People who believe. You know, it actually, it literally means holy people. So, not because a believer is perfect, but because they belong to Jesus. To him, meaning that we have his grace upon our lives, right? Paul uses this term around 80 times. Yet still, I think that, you know, that meaning of saint over the years has changed, and people picture this person what is above the rest. Especially there's a group out there what makes saints like they're, like you go to the saints. In Psalms 146, verse 3. Cassia?
Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, whom there is no help.
You know, there's a danger to putting all your trust into man only, no matter who they are. You know, it would be better if we trust in God. above all others. You know, everybody dies. Unfortunate fact is that everybody dies. When it happens, they cease being helpful, right? You know, they can't help. They're in the grave. However, Jesus rose from the dead and is still alive. Trust in the one who can truly help. It only makes sense, right? Next, Paul lets them know why he is writing this letter. You know, he wants them to have grace and peace from God. So Paul, you know, wants to help. He wants to instruct them so that they could have a better life. You know, all he wants to do is help. So with all this, yeah, it makes sense. You want to read this letter. So in Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Max, are you sure?
We give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and of your love for all of the saints.
All right. So since Paul and Timothy heard about the Colossians' faith, you know, they've been praying for them, right? That touched their hearts, that they believed, that they had faith, and they knew that they needed to pray for them. You know, some might think that's a very small gesture, but, you know, God hears our prayers. He hears our prayers. And it means a lot for people to know somebody cares. To actually pray and know that they actually did pray. That means a lot. Colossians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Stephen, can you read that? Faith, love, and hope. Hope is God's promise of heaven. You know, the Colossians' hope started that very day that they heard of the grace of God in truth. You know, it says, as it was also in all the world. So the early church, I already mentioned, you know, it was spreading the gospel very fast. And for that time, you know, they didn't have cars. So, I mean, the amount of miles they spread was incredible. You know, they were to Spain, to India. You know, and at that point, you know, that was pretty much the civilized world. So to Paul, and all the world. So it spread out very far and very fast. But I think Paul also has another point to that, is that the gospel doesn't change from place to place. It needs to stay the same. The gospel doesn't change, because if it doesn't stay the same, it stops being the truth. Now, we could tell it's the truth because it brings forth fruit. Now, has anybody ever bitten into rotten fruit, or like a bad peanut? You know, when you just crack open a peanut and then you hit the bad ones? No?
Yes.
No? No? You don't eat peanuts. What about Jesse? Have you ever bitten a bad peanut? No, seriously? Me and Michelle, you have? You could really tell a difference, right? What about like a bruised apple? Somebody's had a bite into a bruised apple. Right? You don't eat apples either? Well, no, yeah, but then sometimes you don't know.
I've been at a lot of time and there was like a, what, like a
worm?
Worm in there.
I've heard about that. I've never done that. The half a worm, like.
I always cut my apples up, so I always know.
That's smart, but so.
I get it, though. I get what you're saying.
You get, so I mean, it's pretty obvious if you bite into fruit. You know, if you buy into a bad fruit, it's simple to tell if it's bad or good, right? And it, obviously, good fruit, you know what it tastes like. So you could judge by the fruit. And that's what Paul is telling. He's telling the Colossians, you could judge by the fruit. You know, is it better now that you believe than when you didn't believe? You know, judge by the fruit. See what's going around you. Look around. And then Colossians chapter 1, verses 7 and 6. Jesse.
7 and 8?
Yeah, 7 and 8. I'm not going backwards. We're going 7 and 8. Thanks, Stephen. I feel much better now that you pointed it out. That was good pronunciation. I would have screwed it up if I didn't read before. So we heard about Epaphras. He sounds like a church leader, doesn't he? Sounds like the church leader in Colossians, or Colossia. And he might be the one who started the church. We don't know specifically, but he could have been. He was obviously cared about the church. You know, and he was a leader of the church because he was a minister, right? He sounds like he's the one what told Paul about the church, like he was talking to the church. And then if you're going to go out and tell people about the love that your friends or family have, right, that means that you care about those people, right? You're glad you know people. You know, you love those people. Right? Or you're not going to be talking about them to other people. In a good way, at least. Right? So he loves his fellow Colossians. And I think the point you kind of read in the backstory of this is that the reason he's talking to Paul is because he wants Paul's help. Now, for some, this can be a hard thing to do, is to ask for help. You know, the ability to ask for help, it sounds easy, but then sometimes we get in a way. You know, it's somewhere between we don't want to bother people, don't like talking to people, or we don't want to face the facts that we cannot do it on our own, that we need help. You know that it takes a bigger person to humble themselves and ask for help. You know, I'm going to screw up his name. What'd you say? Epaphras, whatever. Spurred Paul's letter, right? Meaning the reason Paul wrote it is because he went to him. He wrote the letter because this church was having problems. They were having problems with false teaching and believing in those false teaching. I get the picture that this guy wrote a letter, or maybe even talked to Paul in person. You know, telling him about his church, telling Paul that there are these people who were teaching a different doctrine And some people were believing in it. You know, he was asking Paul, what should I do? So he was asking for help. The way Paul wanted to treat this problem is he wanted to tell them to stay strong in the truth, to hold on to the truth no matter what. Now, should Christians be tolerant?
To some point.
I agree with that. It's because I think it depends on the definition, mm-hmm. right? It depends on the definition of the word. Now, if it means to recognize and respect others who do not believe the same as you, in that sense, yes. Yeah. Christians should be tolerant.
You should respect anybody's opinion because that's their opinion. Even though if you don't like that opinion, that's okay. But you still have to show them the same amount of respect you would show somebody else.
Right, because then that would, you hope that they'd show you the same respect.
Yep.
Right?
Sometimes it
doesn't happen. It doesn't happen at all. But this question, as far as should Christians be tolerant, it never lies in a crystal clear water, right? It's always muddy. It's a very muddy situation that I asked you. You know, if tolerant means to agree or be okie dokie with, then the answer is no. Now, many Christians feel pressure to agree with ideas in the name of tolerance. You know, in the fear of being labeled a hater or something even worse. True tolerance means showing respect and love towards others without accepting their behavior or beliefs. Now, does anybody know something what kind of annoying that somebody does? No naming names.
Punching your boyfriend.
It's kind of annoying. I don't mind it too much, so I'm kind of tolerant. But
I'm very tolerant because I didn't go take a baseball
game. So that is very, you know, it.
Chewing with your mouth open.
So, is somebody what's chewing with their mouth open if, say, Jesse doesn't care if people chew with their mouth open?
Oh, that's so wrong.
Oh.
Some people can't breathe with their nose, you know, so they have to, like, open up their mouth and eat.
Okay, so here's perfect. So Max is fine with people chewing with their mouth open. Cassie and Jesse are not. So if I'm sitting there chewing with my mouth open, who is tolerant? No, you're not tolerant because you're fine with it. But they are tolerant because they're nice people and they're not, don't tell me, shut my mouth, right? Maybe. Maybe. No, you know, you're absolutely correct, is that you should be able to speak your mind, right? But in love, that's the tricky part. But my point is if you're not agreeing with it, if somebody also chews with their mouth open, you know, they'd be fine. You know, and they're not really tolerant because they're okay with that situation. If somebody was always in fights, they'd probably be in fine. Well, you guys got in fight, it's fine. They're not tolerant of somebody being bullied or being jumped.
I'm good with fights until it's 5-on-1. What are you gonna do in that situation?
That's a hard situation. You run. Colossians 13, verse 6. First Corinthians. Stephen. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. Cassia. So, love doesn't rejoice in evil, but in the truth. True tolerance doesn't always mean being silent. You know, sometimes there are certain things where there is a limit, and you need to at least convey that it's not right, and that it's being helpful, right? Last week, I saw this bit that this so-called comedian did. It was just a clip, and he was trying to make a joke about Atheist Day. And yes, there's the Atheist Day. It's weird. But he was saying that Christians should observe this day because it's one day out of the year they could get rid of a father figure that is always disappointed in them. Now, this offended me greatly. I mean, he went into this big old thing, but it offended me greatly. And I got angry, I got mad, and then a little sad. You know, first, it cannot be further from the truth, what he was saying. Then the fact that he's misleading other people. And with cable and the internet, you know, you could be talking millions of people what could just will not do the research and just, okay, he must, you know, he's on the internet, you know, he's on the web, he must know what he's talking about. And then if he believed what he was saying, you know, it was sad to me that he was misled and is still misled. You know, not sure how he got there. And the only thing I could think of, I don't know when I heard it, is I had to think about why did he think the way he thought. And I thought of maybe this verse, Romans 3:23. Max, can you read that? So, now there's a problem with only reading one verse out of the Bible. If you only take one verse out of the Bible, yeah, you could turn around for good, or you could just totally turn around for evil. If you just take one verse here and there, if you're just picking little verses, that's why we need to read, you know, the verses before and after. You know, this is a book. You don't just read one thing. You know, it's not talking about how much we fail. It's not talking that God is always disappointed in us because we fail. In Romans 3:21 through 24, it's a lot. Stephen, you feel like reading that much? It just worked out.
Christ
Right? It's saying that we can't work our way to heaven. Right? We cannot do it on our own power. We need help. We need hope. We need to trust in somebody who could help us. And Jesus is more than willing to freely, it doesn't cost anything, freely give us that help. You know, if we ask for it, that's all is we need to come to him and ask for his help. He does this because he loves us and he sees righteousness in us. He sees the good in us and he loves us so much. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Jesse.
Speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ.
You know, I felt like yelling at this guy, this comedian. And I know, especially a seasoned comedian you don't want to have an argument with because they'll come back at you, but I know that's not going to, in real life, it's not, if I yell at somebody, it's not going to fix things, because then they'll yell back, and then we'll yell again, and it's not fixing anything. What we need to do is make Jesus in charge of our head, right, so we can maturely follow him, so we could learn from his example. Now, the sad thing that there's a lot of people out there in the world what misunderstand the Bible. And no matter what they believe, we are told to be kind to those people around us. You know, and it is their choice. And it is up to them, and they need to make that choice on their own. We can't force them one way or another. However, just like the Corinthians, we need to stand firm in the truth. You know, we need to speak the truth. We need to speak the truth in love. We need to stand firm in what we believe. You know, not letting them dictate, you know, how we believe. Or in what we believe. I also saw this other clip. This one was a college professor, and he was very against God, and he was talking to his kids, and he asked them the question, does evil exist? Now, if you think about it, just you'd say, yes, evil exists. He goes, well, if God created everything and God created evil, how can God be all love if he created evil? And there was a student who had asked the professor, so does cold exist? And the professor would say, yes, cold exists. He goes, not really. Cold is the absence of heat. You measure cold by the lack of heat, lack of warmth. Then he asked the professor, does darkness exist? The professor says, yes, darkness exists. He said, no, it doesn't. You measure darkness by the absence of light. How dark it is because it doesn't, the lack of light. Then he asked the professor, does evil exist? The professor wants to say yes. But no, evil doesn't exist. It's the lack of love. So go out and walk in love. You know, you need to stand firm in your walk. But those around us, we need to walk in love and show that love, that a love that is unwavering and that cares for him, because a true love, you rejoice in the truth, not evil. Cassia, can you close us in prayer?